The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, Jesus exclaimed, "I give you praise. I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. For although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy, and my burden light." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We hear in the Gospel reading just read, Christ, "For although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones." To little ones. I think if we've lived long enough, we know that God's ways are not our ways. And the ways of God are not the ways of the world. We tend to, or seem to be, a minority. In the Gospel reading today, Jesus also states, "Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart." Meek and humble. When we hear the word meek, we tend to think of weakness. And it's very interesting because if you look at the definition, the first definition on Webster's Dictionary of meekness is Jesus Christ personified. And it is the Catholic, the Christian view of meekness. Enduring injury with patience and without resentment. That's Christ. That's Christ on the cross stating, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And a lamb led to the shears. He is the sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of God. Enduring injury with patience and without resentment. That's true meekness. But it's interesting because the second definition of meekness right below in Webster's Dictionary is completely the opposite of the Christian definition or the view of meekness. And it states, deficient in spirit and courage. Deficient in spirit and courage. That, to me, is somebody, a mousy person. Mousy. Like, not much spirit, kind of flitters around, and not very courageous. Although we're deadly afraid of mice, perhaps. They're more afraid of us, and they scurry along, and we jump. Deficient in spirit. The fact of the matter, very interesting, is that the second definition is opposite, because to be meek according to the way Christ calls us to be meek, we must are strong in spirit, and we are courageous, because only through a strong spirit and courage can we endure injury and patience without resentment. We need a spirit of God to dwell within us, as the second reading states, and we need courage to not to fight back and not to utter a word or an evil thought or seek revenge. So one, from a Christian view, cancels out the other. We are called to have a silent trust in God. And we lost that in the Garden of Eden. We lost that with original sin, where Satan says, "How can you trust? Come to me, and I will show you what God has and what He is, and I will see that you can be like Him too." So we've lost all trust in God, and our lives are a continual cycle of trust, anxiety, and suffering, trying to regain the peace that we lost when we were in communion with our Creator in paradise. That is our lot. And unless we become like children, we cannot regain that trust. Because children trust. Children trust us. They trust our parents. They trust adults. We've lost that childlike trust, unconditional trust in God. Unless you become like children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. I read this gospel, I couldn't help thinking of the fable or the story of Chicken Little. Chicken Little. Little chicken that runs around, and all of a sudden he's running. She likes to walk and walk outside and be under the trees, and all of a sudden an acorn falls on her head. And she doesn't take the time to look and say, wait, what's happening? What fell on my head? She assumes that the sky is falling. oh my, the sky is falling. And she goes on this tirade, on this thing to recruit people to convince her that the sky is falling. She runs into a hen, Henny Penny. And she goes, come with me, oh my, I'm going to see the lion. She says, as the hen asks her, where are you going? Why are you into this frantic race? The sky is falling. It has fallen. A part of it fell on my head. I'm going to see the lion. As if, in the fable, I don't know the author, it comes from England in the 1800s. What was the lion going to do? But in the fable, in the story, the lion has some pivotal meaning. For us, I can tell you, and my thought here is that when things don't go well, we seek for lions in our lives, other things besides patience and courage to go through what we must go through. So she runs into, again, now she runs into a duck, Ducky Lucky. So now she's got Henny Penny and Ducky Lucky, and Ducky Lucky says, what's wrong with you? The sky is falling. Yeah, come with you. Where are you going? Well, I'm going to see the lion. Can I join? Yes, you can. Let's go. They scurry around, running around. Then they run into a fox, as you recall. Foxy Loxy. Foxy Loxy. And Foxy Loxy says, where are you going? The sky is falling. The sky is falling. And we're here. We're trying to find where the lion lives so we can tell them. I guess they felt protected by the lion. And the fox cunning states, do you know where he lives? And Chicken Little says, I don't know where he lives. He says, come with me, and I'll show you the way to the lion's where he lives. And Foxy Loxy leads the little motley crew into his den. And he says, come right in. And they go into the fox's den. And the story's kind of creepy at the end, with one lion. And they all go in, but they never come out again. Because the fox ate them. My brothers and sisters, we lose common sense. We lose the compass when trials come. It is our faith that gives us the trust, trying to restore our trust in a God that loves us and has done everything to give us peace in his life. And when something happens, we look for the lions in our lives. And it can be distractions. It can be things as innocuous as hobbies. It can be as terrible as addictions, behaviors, even religious practices that we do over and over again, and we don't understand how we have to embrace the will of God in our lives and look for the lion, which is Christ, which is actually a lamb. That he teaches us to be meek, to be courageous, to be patient, and understand that the way of children, according to the Catholic and Christian view, is one of suffering. It is the cross. It is the pivotal event of man's salvation. But we many times end up in a fox's den. And to those poor souls that abandon their faith and lead a wayward life and turn to pornography or drugs or whatever imaginable or unimaginable thing you can imagine, the burden of the cross becomes a terrible burden. And that is the gospel message today. Come to me, all who labor, and I will give you rest. Because my yoke, we cannot get rid of the yoke. The yoke is ours. We were born into original sin. We have lost the utter trust and communion with God. And our work, the work of God in us, His mercy, His love, is to bring us back to the fold to be like Him. It's very simple, my brothers and sisters. We exist because God wanted us to exist, you and me, individual men and women. We continue to exist right now as we sit in this church breathing and living because He wants us to continue to exist in His mercy and in His love. We were made for a kingdom. And in that path, in that way, in that childlike trust, becoming children, it is a suffering that we undergo. Some suffer more, some suffer less. It is an invitation to become like God, who became a human and suffered like us. He gives meaning to our suffering because it fashions us. It fashions us the same way that we fashion our children, especially with the teenage years, where they don't understand, they're rebellious. And they're like, I don't like this. You know, they go and they... If they have teenagers, I don't know what to go on. The invitation that we have is to become holy and nothing less. Be holy, for my Father in heaven is holy. God allows and judges all things to that end. And we must keep that end in mind in everything that happens to us in our lives. We must do everything to improve our life, temporally, spiritually, physically, and then know in peace that God is with us. We have to do our part, but we must rest in peace. St. Francis de Sales states that we must not judge things according to our own liking, but according to that of God. And he also states that if we are holy according to our own will, we shall never be truly holy. We must do so according to God's will. So my brothers and sisters, let us embrace the concept of meekness, enduring injury, enduring this life of ours with courage and without resentment, with humility like children. God uses everything, every crumb of irritation that comes into our lives, and every great or small suffering that enters into our lives to bring this about. And when we feel, like St. Teresa of Avila states, that I haven't at times the strength to lift an ant. When we feel like that, let us echo that when we are in our most weak and miserable states, it calls about down the mercy and love of God. If only, we knew the infinite value of the presence of God in our lives, if we knew the merits of the life of Jesus Christ and worked and prayed and took time to reflect on His life, if we took time to live a real faith, a practical faith that is used every moment of our lives, an invincible confidence in prayer, ask and you will receive, with complete abandonment to all of our spiritual temporal needs, then we would begin to live heaven, even as we are still on earth.